Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read a familiar story to most of us out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning of verse 25. On one day, an expert on Moses' law came to test Jesus' orthodoxy by asking him this question, "Teacher, what does a man need to do to live forever in heaven?" And Jesus replied, "What does Moses' law say about it?" "It says," the man replied, "that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and you must love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you shall live." The man wanted to justify his lack of love for some kinds of people, so he asked, "Which neighbors?" Jesus replied with an illustration. A Jew going on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money, beat him up, and left him lying half dead beside the road. By chance, a Jewish priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A Jewish temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but then went on. But a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw him, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and walked along beside him till they came to an inn, where he nursed him through the night. The next day, he handed the innkeeper two $20 bills and told him to take care of the man. "If his bill runs higher than that," he said, "I'll pay the difference the next time I am here." Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the bandit's victim? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him some pity." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." I read out of the Living Bible translation, which is a paraphrase translation, as you could probably tell through some of that. And after reading that passage from the Gospel of Luke, listening to Jesus tell the familiar story of the Good Samaritan, we could probably stop there for the day. It's a lesson as to the very essence of the purpose of our lives, to use the platforms of our lives in this one time around that we have to lift the lives of others. The expert in the law who was asking Jesus the question didn't like that, and he hoped that Jesus would say something different, but he told him that story. Here's another story I've shared with some of you before, a story of a man who may or may not have been familiar with Jesus' lesson that we just read, but clearly, as you'll see, he lived it out to the very end. As I heard the story, it was a cold night in February in New York City when 27-year-old Paul Keating was walking home in Manhattan's Greenwich Village area when he saw two armed muggers robbing a college student. Keating, a gentle, much-admired photographer for Time magazine, had every reason to avoid the trouble he saw before him. He didn't know the student being mugged. It was cold out, and he needed to get home. No one would ever know that he was there and saw what he saw. And he was outnumbered and outarmed. He didn't have any weapon. He had nothing to gain and much to lose by taking the risk. And yet, he ran over to the troubled student, jumped on the muggers. In the struggle, the student was able to escape and ran to a nearby deli to call for help. But moments later, two shots cracked in the night air and the muggers fled. When help arrived at the scene, Paul Keating was found lying dead on the pavement. The city of New York posthumously awarded him a Medal of Heroism. Among other things that he said at the ceremony, Mayor Edward Koch said this: "Nobody was watching Paul Keating on the street that night. Nobody made him step forward in the time of crisis. He did it because of who he was." What we do in life is important. Our jobs, our careers, our callings, all important. And they provide us with an opportunity to show who we really are. And that's the main reason why they're important, because who we are is much more important than what we do, than what records we set, the amount of money we make, the awards we get, the image we have. Every day, moments present themselves which give us a chance to show who we are and who we should become in the midst of joy and fear-filled moments of our lives, as well as disappointments we'll experience and tragedies, in times of defeat and failure, and also in times when we're provided an opportunity to meet a need and change a life. It's all a part of the platform we've been given. How we respond to others and to what happens to us and respond to what we face, it tells others a lot about who we are inside and how far we need to go, maybe, to be more like Christ, or maybe, just for starters, to be more like the Good Samaritan in Christ's parable. On April 3rd, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. delivered what would turn out to be his last speech, most familiarly known by the name, "I've Been to the Mountaintop." The next day, on April 4th, 1968, he was assassinated by a coward. Dr. King was in Memphis, Tennessee, to address what was going on with the Memphis sanitation strike. And as he was speaking that night, he continued to call for an end to the injustices experienced by people in general, and in this particular case, on behalf of the 1,300 sanitation workers on strike against the city of Memphis, seeking better pay and decent working conditions. And as always, when he called folks to support their brothers and sisters, whether directly affected or not, he always called them to do so nonviolently, to simply be there for others. As he was nearing the end of his remarks, he paraphrased the story of the Good Samaritan from the Gospel of Luke that we just read. And Dr. King engaged in his own speculation, as we all have, with his audience as to why the Jewish priest or the Jewish Levite, who was the temple assistant of the priest, might have passed by the Jewish man. Did you hear that? Jewish priest, Jewish Levite, Jewish man. The man was in need. It's been suggested that the priest and temple assistant, the Levite, were too busy or self-consumed with their own stuff, their own agenda, perhaps even late for another appointment or meeting. Those all may have been true. It certainly happens with us as well. But also the truth was that the journey they were on was in a very dangerous area, across a hazardous, winding, steep stretch of road, which started out at about 1,200 feet above sea level in Jerusalem. And then 20 minutes later, when you arrived in Jericho, you were at 2,200 feet below sea level. It was a stretch of road which was also called during that days the Bloody Pass. Understandably, they may have feared for their own safety. They may have thought that the thieves who beat up the Jewish man and left him for dead on the side of the road were still around there, or that the man was faking to get them to stop so he could rob them. Whatever it was, Dr. King pointed out to those gathered that night in Memphis that neither the priest nor the Levite stopped to help him. Only the Samaritan man, a man of a different race, not a friend, who was despised and hated by the Jews, would stop. He's the only one that stopped. And so, Dr. King shared this possibility as to why the three who came upon the wounded man acted the way they did. He suggested that maybe the first question both the priest and the Levite asked themselves was, if I stop to help this man on this dangerous road, what will happen to me? And then they both passed by. But then the Good Samaritan came along, and he reversed the question as he thought, and then he asked himself, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? And he stopped to help the hurt man, just like Paul Keating jumped in to help the student that night. That's the question which should always be before us. The question is not, if I stop to help someone in need, what will happen to me? The question must always be, if I do not stop to help someone in need, what will happen to them? That's the question all the time we must ask and then answer by saying, yes, I'll help. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God. And it's about others God calls us to help. We can all see ourselves, can't we, in the story of the Good Samaritan. We can all sense ourselves being called forth by the call of Martin Luther King Jr. from that night so long ago in Memphis, when he was calling others out to stand with all the Memphis sanitation workers who were being treated unjustly. We can see ourselves probably at times in the past in each of the three roles depicted in that story of the Good Samaritan: priest, Levite, and Good Samaritan. maybe even in the role of the man in need, having been beaten and robbed on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. But the role which Christ always calls us to is the role of the Good Samaritan. The choice Christ always calls us to make is the one made by the Good Samaritan, to stop and say, "Yes, I will help you." Whose assistance have you come to through the years when confronted with a similar choice, when confronted with someone in their moment of need? Maybe even when it was difficult or uncertain, dangerous, or would cost you something or was inconvenient. And in those situations where you or I didn't stop or didn't choose to help, what held us back from doing that? Our platforms, my friends, and what we do with them not only defines who we are, but can really make a marked difference in the lives of those around us forever. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. The message, the familiar message, the familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. Lord, not just thanks, but move us, convict us, push us, call us, drag us if you need be, to embrace that message, to internalize it, and to make it who we are every day of our lives, so that we ask the question, as the Good Samaritan asked, if I don't stop to help this man, this person, whatever situation, what will happen to them? That's our question. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for that message. Thanks for your life. Thanks for your example. Guide and direct us every step of our days in that direction so that we might be a help to others for all eternity. In your Son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.